Welcome to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, here with our host, psychologist and best-selling author Dr. James Dobson, and co-host Luann Crane. And today we have a program which I'm sorry to say is going to hit home for a lot of people.
It certainly will, Ryan, and that's because the national unemployment rate right now hovers at around 8%, in fact, over 8%. And if that doesn't hit home for people, here's another statistic. The U.S. Bureau of Labor Stats came out with a recent report in January that the number of individuals who have struggled with long-term unemployment, meaning they've been out of work for 6 months or more, rests at 5.5 million. And Dr. Dobson, I cannot begin to fathom that.
Well, those are shocking numbers, Luann and Ryan. And for the married couples that make up that number, the loss of jobs has the potential to impact more than just the family budget. Mm. Unemployment puts a terrible strain on a family and on a marriage. Mm-hmm. And it's really like nothing else. Even couples that have built strong relationships can find themselves in difficult territory with irritability and depression and other emotions that are uncomfortable. And that's what we're here to talk about today. And I hope we can make a difference for those who are listening to us and saying, that's me. Mm. To weigh in on this heavy topic, I have invited a couple to be with us who have experienced the unemployment problem firsthand. Bo and Patty Henderson are our guests today. Bo works for Family Talk, so he's no longer looking for a job. Mm-hmm. I'm glad to know that. But
me
Bo,
too.
You did find yourself in this dilemma. You've got six kids, I believe.
Yes.
Three and three. Three boys, three girls.
Yes.
And how many grandchildren?
Two. The third on the way.
All right. I want to hear your story because you got what's called RIFT. You were sent packing. That's an unfortunate way to describe it, but it is what happened to you. And you had been with another organization. In fact, used to work for me for a number of years. Talk about it.
Yes, actually, I left just before you did. In September 15th of 09 was my last day. And I'd been there 11 years, considered it my dream job. Was there because of you. And because of your integrity and who you are and what you stood for. And I wanted to be a part of what you stood for. And it was getting the rug pulled out from under me, for sure. The blessing of that day was I got to meet with you briefly on my last day, and you prayed with me and encouraged me. But after that, it just became a big pit, a very dark hole.
Doctor, just to describe, you said RIFT. Now, some people may not know that acronym. It's RIF, which means reduction in force, right? Mm-hmm. So basically—
It's not fired.
Right.
It is saying, we don't have a job for you anymore.
Yes. And, you know, the HR people will tell you don't take it personally, which is just a lie. There's not a person on the planet that cannot take rejection like this personally. And I understand business, but at the same time, you as an individual say, I'm not needed anymore.
So your sense of belonging disappeared with one conversation.
Absolutely.
Instead of having a place and having a salary check, which you need to stay alive, take care of your family, and especially as a husband, being the breadwinner and having the responsibility to care for those family members, that is really tough.
Yeah, it's devastating to the male psyche.
Was it to you?
Absolutely. That first morning waking up, there's that brief instant of you forgot what happened the day before. So you have a little reprieve that you don't really get to enjoy because it hits you like a brick wall. Again, I'm out of work. I can't provide for my family. All the things that were trained in society and everything, just and as we're wired as men, that we are the provider, we fix things. It's what we do. And you can't fix this on your own. You can go out and look for all the jobs that are available in your field and others, but to actually get yourself hired, you have no control over that. Mm-hmm. And there's just not a lot of jobs out there right now.
Now, you were an art director.
Yeah, I was a associate creative director and had a team of people, and some of those went on to an agency in town here. But there was a big chunk of us that were just gone, just let go. And that hurt, too. There's so many sides of this. The family unit of coworkers We prayed together in the morning at devotions. We shared our lives together, the heartaches and the happiness. And to have that just yanked apart, because I consider it like this garment that was, you know, woven together by God of these people in this same position and working together. And then that was just torn apart. And that just broke my heart.
Well, it would be hard enough if you didn't like your job.
Yeah.
If you didn't like the people
yeah.
you were around, if there
yeah.
was all kind of conflict
yeah.
and your boss was on your back.
Right.
But if this was the place you really wanted to spend the rest of your life,
mm-hmm.
and I think you've told me you did.
Yes.
That's a blow. Now, Patty, you are employed, but how did it hit you when you got this word?
Well, there's that immediate shock, and you try and think, what are we going to do? We kind of had a dress rehearsal run early in our marriage. The first 10 years of our marriage were very difficult, and we went through some very difficult times. And I was just a homemaker at that time. I didn't have any outside
wrong.
Work.
Not
no,
just
wrong.
Well,
no,
I didn't
never
have an
say
outside.
That. Just a homemaker. Are you kidding me? That's a backbone of the nation.
I apologize. No, I just meant that I didn't work outside. So.
Yes.
I didn't receive a paycheck.
There you go.
Treasures
so,
in heaven.
And
okay.
at that yes. point, we were able to watch miraculously God just provide for us over and over again. And so our faith had been tested. We had come through, and here it was revisited. You know, so there was a little bit of hesitation, obviously, and my main concern was more for Beau and how he was feeling.
Yeah,
and how he was feeling as a man.
It hit him harder than it did you, obviously, because
yeah.
he's the one that had, had been released. Patty, at that time, you could have picked up a newspaper and probably did. And in every one of those papers, there would be some comment about the fact that the unemployment rate was rising and people were having
True.
Difficulty finding a job. And people were leaving organizations in droves, you know, sometimes 100 to 200 people out there all of a sudden on the street trying to find out how they were going to pay their bills the next day. You don't sound like you took it as hard as I would have expected you to.
Well, I think because going through this process before, my faith had increased so much. And I really believe that God has a call on Beau's life, and he's very gifted. And I know—
Why do you think he's here now?
I was just very confident that God was leading him. And yes, this was a season we were going to have to go through, and our faith would be stretched. But in the same respect, if we gave it all over to the Lord, he was going to lead him and guide him and get him to the right appointment.
This stretch lasted almost 2 years.
Yeah,
did the anxiety
months.
Grow? Was it at first you thought, you know what, he's a great artist, we're going to find a job, we're going to bounce back, and then 6 months, and then 12 months, and then 18 months.
Right.
At some
right.
point, did you wake up and go, oh, no.
You'd think I would have. You know, I was a little surprised. I think that when the time, you know, elapsed and there was, it was so great a length of time. But in and through that, miraculously, again, any time we needed to pay our mortgage and we didn't have what we needed, a freelance job or something, you know, God would provide in some way, something would come across. Mm-hmm. And it's just miraculous. We did not miss one house payment in that whole almost 2 years.
I often say God knows where all the money is. And you do fall into there's a fine line between trusting God and then that human anxiety that is just so prevalent. It's so hard. We know better. As believers, we know God has not forgotten us. But I had to daily tell myself that he hadn't forgotten me, which was the biggest struggle, because when you're let go like this and everything, your whole world is turned upside down, it's who you identify yourself with, your work. Yeah. When they tell you not to, but I firmly believe, in my case, because I feel called by God to do what I do in ministry and to work for you in this capacity. So I'm thinking, how could I not identify myself with what I do? Because God has blessed me with this gift to do this. It's been ordained by the Creator for me to be creative. And so to not be able to do that just became a big question for me. I didn't doubt God. I doubted me.
So more than just the physical needs of financially paying for things and that, you probably had some spiritual questions about, wait a minute, Lord, if you gave me these talents and gifts, why would you prevent me from using them?
And that's where I think for me, the initial shock, the first few months were so dark. Because just getting up in the morning, just making myself do things. I created a website for my portfolio. I went through all the work I had done previously to highlight it and promote myself, which was so difficult because I didn't feel I can do that. I couldn't sell myself to the world as a creative person because I wasn't feeling it.
And I remember you sharing that with me. You know, how do I do this when I'm not feeling like
that
anybody wants me?
It comes across in employment interviews, too.
Oh, yeah.
People can tell you're not confident. Yeah. I mean, they can see it in your eyes.
Yeah. Well, in 20 months, I only had three.
Only had three.
One was a phone interview, and then two were live. And that's how bad it is out there.
I think I read you sent 200
Easily hundreds of either through email or just applying online, which majority of the time you don't hear back. You don't even know that they received it, which is really bad, which is really discouraging because it plays into I really felt alone. And this is why I brought this subject up, because it wasn't until I realized I wasn't that things turned around and changed for me, because the enemy just crept in quick. All he had to do was remind me of my past to keep me from moving to my future. And it just really hit me hard. It was dark. I was angry. I was bitter. And I still have a lot of residual feelings from that time because I identified myself with what I was doing, and it was gone. Mm-hmm. How do I recapture the excitement for what I do, but also how do I establish myself back in the marketplace as somebody that's a valid choice in an interview or whatever? Mm-hmm. There's so many people out there. They're going to take the cream of the crop. They're going to take the best of the best and try and get them for bottom dollar. And that's just the reality of where we're at right now.
And the way everything is online, like you said, you don't even have that interpersonal communication.
No.
You don't have a chance to even demonstrate to them that you're a warm, caring person.
Correct.
It would kind of mess with your mind that you just have to look good on paper to get past that front door.
Which is, again, it's so difficult because you're in this state of mind of, and I use this phrase all the time, that nobody likes me, everybody hates me, guess I'll eat some worms. Mm-hmm. Seriously, mentally, that's where I was at. I was worthless, useless, done with this career because I'm done doing this. Obviously, God doesn't want me doing this anymore. And it wasn't until I realized that, look, I've got this stinking thinking going on. I need to turn this around because no one's going to do it for me. As encouraging as my incredible wife was, I mean, that helped me get to that path. But it wasn't until internally I said, all right, enough's enough. I can't be depressed anymore. I can't shut people out anymore. I've got to take responsibility for this in a new way. And I've got to think differently than I'm thinking. Even if I don't feel it, I've got to flip a switch and try and make something happen.
Depression has many different manifestations. How did it play out in your life?
Oh, again, the just the motivation to get up in the morning. You know, if it wasn't for the kids needing to get to school, I would have stayed in bed.
Did you believe for a time that it's not only bad now, but it isn't ever going to be any better?
Absolutely. There was no light at the end of the tunnel for a couple of months. I mean, it was just so dark.
I knew differently.
She knew differently.
And I just would try to encourage him, a lot of prayer for him. Like he said, he was angry, so there was a lot of prayer for that the Lord would really work in his heart and help
him to forgive. Did you understand what he was going through?
I did. I did understand it, and I tried to be as compassionate as I could. And, you know, sometimes it would bring me down, but for the most part, I would just really try to cling to prayer and cling to the Lord and pray for direction. And I would ask him, you know, what has the Lord said to you today?
Uh-huh.
You know, what has God said to you today?
Mostly my answer was, I don't know.
Yeah. Did you get sensitive? Did you get snappy?
I don't know. Probably a few times, you know.
This is what I was praying today. I would share. Mm-hmm. This is the sense I got. This is what I felt God was saying. You know, what have you heard?
I never felt like she was nagging at me or anything, which was
I didn't try to come,
a blessing.
No, I wasn't coming across like that.
You know, without a supportive spouse, I could have spiraled down even further, and who knows what would have happened. But the fact that she was not on me to, you got to get a job. I don't care what kind of job it is. You just need to get a job because we got bills and all. I mean, there was never any of that.
You really didn't hear that. You didn't say, Bo, we're running out of resources here. Get out there and find something.
No, she knew I knew.
We talked about the upcoming bills or what was next. And we learned a long time ago, you pray for one thing at a time. Mm-hmm. I mean, God gives you enough grace to get through each day. And that was our mission, to get together, to agree, and to get through each day, and just to pay what bill we needed to pay, to do whatever we needed to do. And we prayed specifically for those needs. But again, everything we went through, even our move to Colorado Springs, he was struggling with the industry he was working in and compromising his faith values and wanting to do something that would really build the kingdom. And so we were praying about that, and we got directed to Colorado Springs.
Yeah, with no job prospects.
And we knew, though, that, Doctor, you were in his future. We knew that. And that was just a word from the Lord.
She knew that. She convinced me of that. God speaks to her way before he speaks to me.
Well, you know, and I think when you have when you go through a lot of difficulty, you learn to rely on God. Mm. And it hasn't been easy. And I've gone through all the questions everybody goes through. But one thing that he's proven time and time again is that he's faithful and that he's going to lead you. He's going to guide you. You have so much worth. You're so valuable to him, and he loves you so very much. And so he's going to lead you. He's going to guide you and be faithful.
Patty, you obviously are a very strong woman, and I admire you. I'm curious now, Bo's out of work and you're working full time. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
How did that dynamic play out in your marriage? Because suddenly you're kind of taking the leadership role, and I can't imagine you're coming home at the end of the day tired and worn out, and he's got the domestic responsibilities. Describe.
He's a good cook.
But how did that play out so that you just didn't take over and take charge of everything and still allow Bo to be the spiritual and godly leader that the Lord designed him to be?
You know, I think I was just exhausted. So it was easy to kind of share that burden with him. But you're right. I think there was a little bit of a distance between us because he was home, I was at work. My hours kind of vary, so I have to work 40 hours a week, but I can sometimes make my own calendar
juggle it.
So that was beneficial. I took some comfort in knowing that the kids were taken care of because he was there.
Yeah.
He could get them to school. He'd pick them up if I needed to, stay in work. I could do that. I think the hardest thing for me is that I did want to do everything. I wanted to keep the house clean. I wanted to cook. I wanted to, be able to really invest that creative energy in that way. And most of the time I was just exhausted. So by the time I come home, Bo's making dinner, or has already had it, ready. And
You have to do.
You just do what you have to do. It's been teamwork all along the way.
Absolutely.
Teamwork.
And if we hadn't had that foundation of that, absolutely would have been detrimental to our relationship. Absolutely.
Well, I started to say that this story has a happy ending, but the end is not yet. I mean, there'll be other challenges to
absolutely.
Come, but there has been an exciting chapter that you're living now.
Yes.
And it took place right here at Family Talk.
Yes.
Because you got a call and you began doing contract work for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew you and I knew what you were capable of doing. And as soon as we were able to offer you a job. And I have great love and respect for you, Bo.
You're
so good at what you do.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You really
Bo,
are.
You were the first person that my dad had me call when we were going to start this new ministry.
Mm-hmm.
I was on vacation. It was either the very end of November or very early December, and he said, you should call Bo. We got to get this thing done.
Yeah.
And you were the first person we called.
And I'll tell you, the day that I came in and met with Sean about doing contract work, and he brought me upstairs. You weren't in yet, but he wanted to show me your office. And coming out of your office, you stepped through the door and you gave me a hug and you said, I've been thinking about you lately. And I don't even know if you remember this, but you called me into your office and you asked how things were going. And you said you've been praying for me and the family and hoping things were going well. But the words that you said that just were the words that God knew I needed to hear. When you told me that you've been thinking about me and you hadn't forgotten about me, that was God speaking to me.
Because the affirmation that you needed.
Absolutely. And to have it come from you, God knew what he was doing. It made sense. It clicked. I went, okay, I understand now, because the bigger picture was God knew my heart. God knew where I wanted to be, who I wanted to be in ministry with, who I wanted to apply my gifts for, and that was you. And it always had been.
Mm-hmm.
It's why I was where I was at. And when you were God knew you were no longer going to be there. He just removed me sooner. And to be able to look back in hindsight and say, okay, now I get it. It was God's timing, not mine. And I know there's so many people out there that they're not at the end of this. Their story is still unfolding in a very, very negative way. And my heart goes out to them, because I know there's so many things that they're struggling with. We tried to get our mortgage payment down lower and contacted the bank and did all this stuff and paperwork for 2 months. And they came back and said, well, you're still current on your payment, so unless you're delinquent, we can't help you. And I'm thinking, that's messed up.
Yeah, that was discouraging.
We've got a whole nation of people trying to do the right thing, and you're telling me you want me to do the wrong thing so you can help me? No. That's not how it should be. So I know there's people out there struggling with this and wondering where that next, delinquent notice is coming in the mail, and they dread opening that letter or getting that phone call. They don't know where they're supposed to be.
Yeah, they haven't yet seen the sunrise.
And exactly.
And they're still out there.
Exactly.
Let me tell you what we're going to do. Our time is gone for today. We're going to bring another couple in tomorrow that we're going to hear from and learn their story and learn from their experience. So we will have these two families, yours and theirs. And then 2 days from now, we would like to bring the four of you in and put a ribbon on this and get some advice and suggestions, because there are a lot of people out there that have not yet seen the fulfillment of their prayers and their hopes and dreams. Mm-hmm. And some of them are about to lose their homes. Mm-hmm. Some of them are really going through great trouble. And that's why we wanted to do these programs, because we want to put an arm around those that are out there. And the Lord hadn't forgotten them.
Right.
I hadn't forgotten you, Bo, and the Lord hadn't forgotten you. And the Lord has not forgotten those people that
that's
are
right.
out there.
Right.
In your case, Patty, you had a job, so you had one income for the family. A lot of people out there don't have any income at all.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they right here in Colorado Springs, there are people who were stable as a family, and they're living under a bridge here in town.
Right.
And there's a soup kitchen here that we've tried to help and others. But, they're really really going through it, and my heart goes out to them, because it's not just money.
Right.
It's being.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's your complete
purpose
and total identity.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk a little bit in 2 days, so don't go very far, okay?
Okay.
Good to have you here with us.
Thank you very
appreciate
much.
Appreciate you sharing your very personal story.
Thank you, Dr. Dobson.
And, Bo, really, our whole goal here today is that the person listening who is out of work like you were will realize that God has not forgotten them.
Absolutely.
And as we can see, this season in life can really be difficult for couples, especially for those who have not built up the kind of trust and foundation which, Bo, you and Patty have.
Thank you.
But now is a great time to begin. To get you started, women, especially online, we've provided a few key ways that you can step up and encourage your husband right now. We've even included some specific verses and prayers that you can commit to praying for your husband.
Also, if this broadcast has struck a chord in your life, give us a call or visit our website. We would be happy to send you a complimentary CD copy of today's program. You can find all of the information at drjamesdobson.org, or you can call us 877-732-6825.
And that CD will actually include what we have planned for tomorrow and Friday as well. There are so many people struggling with this issue right now. It can definitely lead to feelings of doubt and loneliness, as we heard today. If that is you and you need that peace and joy and meaning in your life, please reach out to us. The Lord is waiting with his arms open wide for you right now. Give us a call. Our number, 877-732-6825, or as Ryan said, drjamesdobson.org.
Thanks for spending time with us today, and join us tomorrow as we hear from Lee and Jen Darnold on how to trust in the Lord even in your darkest hour. That's next time on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
We'll see you then.